So this is a question that I've never heard answered, or at least I didn't hear it, about adopted children. My two angels, my daughter and my son, I was so divinely blessed to be in the birth of my daughter for 9 hours, bonding with the matriarch of the family, that she was the one that was going to let this child, her, go or not. This was an adoption. And watched her be born, held her, and took her home at a day old. With my son, I held him at 20 minutes old, spent that day with the birth mother and him and my husband, and took him home at a day old. So I've been blown away ever since. I have been just in gratitude and tell my children I love them, and they're now 30 and 27 every single day, to the point where my son goes, you know, it's we're talking on the phone and he knows it's coming. And I go, I love you, and he goes, love you too, Mom. Bye.
Yes.
Okay, so my question is, I have my inner feeling about this, but I just wanted to hear more about from a higher perspective.
Truly, this is an easy answer, and you already know it.
Yeah.
So go ahead and give the mic back to her so she can run away, and you can sit down. Aquinas has taught forever that situations like this, and there are other ones that are similar, there's no accident here. It's almost like you were born for this and so were they. And at some level, if you follow a certain path, and most of us do, to that junction, it's not a contract, it's free choice, you'll meet this person, and they may be this big. And you'll spend their life or whatever growing up, and that is what you were supposed to do. And you were supposed to meet them. Now, there is a wonderful thing, Crian says, that you don't know, but I know you felt, is what was their Akash? And what is it they needed from you that they might not have gotten this time around, that you as an old soul could give them? And whether it's the teaching, or the just love, or something that they came in for and you fulfilled. And at the same time, Mom, you know, you got it too. This is the perfect scenario of things that happened like they should. And so you can write into that all the things about the mother who gave it away or whatever, or how does she feel, or what's the karma. That's not the point. The real point is you guys met each other and fulfilled a love contract. That's the answer.
Next question.
Thank you. So I recall hearing you mention something about working with Greg Braden on a couple of things, and that you had been in economic development. I too was there. And I kind of remember something about something Crian said about maybe sharing information with you about what's coming up. So I was wondering if Crian is taking on an advisory role and talks to you in the shower and is kind of, pushing you and Greg in a certain direction.
The reason Greg and I match up so well, we even call each other spiritual brothers, is because coming either from the esoteric standpoint or from the scientific standpoint, we've come to a conclusion. And the channeling and also his research would show that the paradigms of today about how things change, work, and are completely and totally different. Crian mentioned, and we've maybe even this weekend if you were there, that there is a new paradigm about how things change. And one of them is this. In the old paradigm, for instance, let's go with what you said, economics. If our system is systemically broken, which some say it is, you've seen the books coming that say, fateful day is here, big depression is here, all that, it's just a matter of time. If you listen to the news, you know, they're saying, even though our economy right now is probably the best it's been in 20 years, they say, well, it's all going to crash. The old paradigm says that in order to build a new system or new paradigm, that the old one has to leave. And that means, you know, here comes 1929. That's an old paradigm. What Greg and I both believe is that there is a newer way, and that is integration. That the new one can be built at the same time the old one diminishes, with new ideas and new ways, new job changes, whatever. So that even though our old system may actually be broken and systemically wrong. Systemically means that the system doesn't work and you're going to have to get rid of it. It can be integrated into the new without the trauma of a depression. And that is what Crine has said. And he said it to those who say it's inevitable that we're going to crash. He's also said to those, be careful what seeds you plant into the consciousness of the people who are listening to you. And sometimes those books and those opinions are generated for money. So they'll sell a lot of books because fear sells. It's not responsible. It never has been responsible. I think the most responsible thing we can do is to instill hope in other people. I think the most responsible thing that you and I can do is to be peaceful in the light of things that are not peaceful, and to help people understand there are new ways here. It doesn't have to be a certain way. In government, in corporate, in all of these things, and especially economy right now, because it's a big issue, that's the answer. Integration. Ways of having the old and the new swap places with very, very little trauma going on. There's a lot of changes that will happen, whether the way you invest or the way this way or mortgages and all, but it'll be a lot softer. And that is what Crine says is the potential here. Because with paradigm changes, we're going to see a lot of things. Economy is one of them. And so I hope that answers a little bit more about, you know, but Greg and I agree. And one of the beautiful things, and Greg and I work together, we're going to work together in December and in January. And every time we get together, I am so amazed at what he teaches, because it's ripped right out of the Crayon book. And vice versa, he comes to me and he says, you know, we're on the same page again, Lee. And I said, yes, we are, Greg. And even the times when we've had dinners together and things like that, and we don't talk about metaphysics and all when we have dinner. We usually talk about family and what it feels like to travel so much and all that. But the integrity of the man is so solid and so beautiful. He really is my spiritual brother. I'm not surprised that science is starting to show some of the principles that Crine says we are moving into, that science would be, it wouldn't be right if it didn't show. It has to be practical. It has to show. It just can't be a meeting you go to and you walk outside and there's nothing that jives with what I said. This has to be showing itself on the planet, and it does. And Greg is the guy who is at the forefront showing some of the science that says, yes, 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 it's coming, it's coming, it's coming.
Okay, next question. Hi. A couple of months ago, you gave, I thought, a beautiful channeling about the Akash. And you were talking about sharing of the Akash, kind of an expansion of the Akash where you have your own personal, but then there's also the community Akash of the world. And with that, just for those of you who may not have heard the message, you were talking about, for instance, if I were a very old soul of many thousands of lives, I might have a beautiful earth wisdom and compassion, but I also might have, with that, a little bit of hang-ups from the experiences I also gathered that weren't so pleasant. But maybe my daughter is a newbie. And so she has like a childlike enthusiasm about everything, love, compassion, joy, but she's also a bit earthly and naive. And so as a parent, I might be a little bit nervous about, oh, she's pretty raw, and not want her to have to burn her fingers so much. And you talked about this, you didn't give a lot of detail, ability to share the Akash such that maybe I could share with her the wisdom, but not those burdens.
And this is wonderful. The question is so advanced, but you pegged it. What process could there be that is so outlandish that after the daughter is born and you're alive, that you could look at her and somehow share your experience? This is evolution. Not only can you do that, there are also really evolved ideas about, to a mother, I'm going to get back to you, to a mother that may have what we will call the gene that is cancerous, that would be passed on to her daughter, and your sisters would have it, so it's a woman's gene for cancer, and it's known. And when you're born, they say, well, you've got it, and you know it, and you've heard this. And Krishna said, did you know that if you drop that karma, if you could wipe that out, did you know that all the generations that follow will also be dropped? Yes. So this is an evolved principle that is extremely esoteric, that I say that it will show up someday, practically. And one person who's done the work on themselves, and their children don't have it, and another sister they do. That's the kind of thing we're looking at. The Akash is wonderful. It's one of the most, although the most esoteric things we have, because it's hard to describe, and it comes with the territory of having a soul and all that. But the thing that is so beautiful about it is how expansive it's becoming. Krishna speaks of the Akash as that which are your experiences which are remembered from lifetime to lifetime. That's your Akashic record, if you haven't heard the name, is the experiences, and you can see it perhaps in your mind as, you know, a series of books, but they're all together, they're not linear, and it's your experience as an old soul. Now, one of the things that's happened to you is you got a newbie, and the reason you have a newbie is because you're an old soul. This is so critical now. If your daughter had a newbie mother, good luck. For what's going to happen to both of them? What old souls are about today's teaching the newbies? And so in your case, you've got a daughter, and you're right. She's new, and she's fresh, and she's got a lot to learn, and including how many times to burn her hand. You're right. Now she's got a mother who is wise and old soul mom. Yes, you can share this Akash with her. Now, the next question is how? First of all, the daughter is a newbie. You can tell a newbie. In fact, you may have associates or even family who are newbies, and that is that they're easily tricked. They have no idea about life, and they will walk right into situations that you go, what were you thinking? You know, they're the ones who will get the email from the guy in India who wants a dollar, and he'll give you $10,000 because you're inheriting it, and you'll go, yes, here's my dollar, or $100. And where is your mind? Don't you understand that's a trick? Can't you see these things? And the answer is no, they can't. They just showed up. And so there's wisdom to have. So that's a newbie, and she's got one. Now, the newbie is not wise enough to ask you to share your Akash, is she? She never will be. But you can share it anyway because you have got something that is this brand new on this planet. It's what is being delivered here is the ability with your consciousness to ask that child's permission if your Akash can be shared. And that part of her brain, which is the soul and the peace of God that exists, that is all wisdom, will have the option at some level, esoterically, to say yes or no. Usually, it's yes, because you're mom and because you're approaching it with love and compassion. That is extremely esoteric because you're going to say, how is it done? Do I say it? Do I verbalize it? Do I think it? Your innate will give you all of this. At the times when you're looking at her, when she's asleep perhaps, or in the quietest moments when you're both looking at each other and you feel the mom and daughter thing, that's when it happens. And that's when the telepathy and all the things happen between mom and daughters. That's when it is. And soon, I promise, that you will see this in her. You will see a new wisdom start to occur. Now, forget it between the ages of 13 and 17. because we're all a little wacko and rebellious. But I'm talking about getting to that point and beyond it and all. And it really will. You'll see a savvy and a maturity in her that she was not born with as a newbie. And this is what this is about, is we are able to share our old soul wisdom in new ways with those just coming in, so that this planet can accelerate in wisdom far faster than ever before. Now, I'll just tell you, anybody listening to this, and they're going to share it with their friends, they're going to say, hey, is this guy listening to how stupid this is? And I can just hear it coming. And there will be many people who will roll their eyes and say, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And then it'll become real someday, and you'll understand this is a new paradigm.
Wonderful. Okay, this lady up here, you had your hand up.
Is there such a thing as being born to a newbie, and also being born to a newbie?
Oh, yes, of course. And the child will teach them.
Okay. That's
So there's many of this. There's a lot of this. You'll have a little child who is an old soul and a newbie who gives birth to them. And the child will end up teaching them everything. And there it's different because it's not a wise mother sharing in Akash with a child and knowing all these things. It's a little kid who has wisdom and is actually beating up the adult. In a way where you start listening. And then later in life, you know, you become best friends. It's different, but yes, absolutely yes. It goes both ways. It's a little different process.
I have a question about the indigo children. What year did they start coming about, and are they continually being born still?
What we have here is the... I would say there was a precursor age where they started coming in. It was in the 60s.
Not before?
A little before as well, because it mushes in. So there have been a few and then come in later. I knew a woman who was born 40s who was an indigo. Okay? Now, there weren't many at that time. And here's how it works. Spirit is not an immediate thing where there's a flashbulb that occurs on anything. The biggest flashbulb that has occurred has been the year 2000. And we saw almost immediate things starting to happen that they said would. But most of these things mush in over time because it's a situation where it has to be slow to work. You can't suddenly have a whole bunch of indigos. It's got to come in slowly. And that begs the question, well, did Spirit know we would pass the marker? And the answer is no. But they were here anyway, just in case. Okay? So, yes, they've been coming in since the 40s or before. And one that I knew who was the one who we consulted with on the book The Indigo Children, which was Nancy Tappy, which came in not only as an indigo, but as a synesthesiac. Now, that is a brain condition that is a rewiring of the brain. Now, they're not retarded, and they're not mentally deficient. They're wired oddly. And you can look at synesthesia and look it up, and the best thing I can tell you about what that looks like for a person is they say, I ate my peas and I tasted triangles. Now go, I mean, you figure that out. But what she had was the ability to see colors around personality types. Now, that's not auric stuff. That was a gift because she was a synesthesiac. And she started a process where she did workshops because she could see your color and know exactly what you were, not what you were thinking, but your type, what you would do and how you would walk and all that. And it was so successful, Will. She was doing that for a number of years, and then something happened. She saw a new color. And the new color she saw was around children, and it was indigo. And this is how the indigo children got its name. So I know the answer to your question. It's been happening a long time. Second part of your question, they're still being born. They're not they're not like indigos anymore, because that was a forerunner of what has now become a lot more normal. So most children today are being born with those wiser attributes. That's why I'm safe to say if you have grandkids, you know they're different. So whereas in the 90s when we wrote this book and they were just coming in, and you saw the ADDD and all those, now we're at a point where most children you would call indigos. So it's not that special anymore as being a part. But yes, those attributes are currently here with almost all of our kids. And this is why school is difficult. And the administration is difficult. They think, well, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Well, the indigo children are coming up and becoming teachers, and so that's going to supplant itself, and even eventually management and all, they'll say, we need new textbooks. Can I just tell you, just because you said this, one of the things that really rang home to me was when my grandchild was born, little Corbin, and he wasn't supposed to, but he brought home his reader. Now, he's learning to read, and you're supposed to keep him at home, but he forgot and brought it. I got to see it. And I can't tell you the feeling. Do you all remember, there's something, learning to read? And there was something that happened in that process, and I don't know what it's called, psychologists know, where you finally will cognize it and you say, hey, I'm reading. Do you remember that? I do. And so we were acting, it was snapping into place in your brain. And you're going, hey, I'm reading. And that was a feeling you had as a little kid. Well, he brought this home, and I recognized it. It was my reader. It's the same book with a new cover on it. See Jane Run.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was what? And I read it, and I had this funny feeling. I've been here before. That's when I realized that education finds something that they say will work for all human beings at this age, and they continue publishing it for half a century or more. And it's not an indictment, because this is under the premise that human nature doesn't change. And this is what's going to work the best for kids. And when they get it honed, that's what they give them. But in a new paradigm that says consciousness is changing, you better change the books. And so I just wanted to tell you, that my little experience there.
Okay, next question.
I have had some really wonderful success with instructing my innate. Okay, with instructing my innate feeling. Thank you, Cryon. But I heard Cryon speaking recently in a channel, and he was talking about, okay, body, this is what I want from you. You got 6 weeks, knowing how the body works, get to work, do it. I haven't had as much luck with the time frame kind of thing. And so I'm wondering if it's that perhaps because some things maybe take longer to heal in the body.
You answered your own question. You know, and thank you. The 6 week thing is a generalization. When you break your arm, how long does it take in the cast? It could take 3 to 6, and depending upon the break. Almost everything in the body has a time frame of healing, which would be optimum. And whether it's a break or whether it's you're going through a cold. So the 6 week thing was all just a generalization by Cryon to say, when you instruct your innate to heal, give it the appropriate time it would take to heal that issue instead of expecting it tomorrow. And that is, doesn't that make sense? And thank you for what you said about instructing your innate. Can I just go for that? If you haven't heard this before, we have this wonderful, smart body. Do you know what kinesiology is? Okay. And you know what homeopathy is. All right. Both of those take advantage of the innate. In other words, your body knows more than you do. At this moment, that's the way it works. Therefore, when you have kinesiology, you're actually asking the body, for the right dosages or whatever. A dentist will do it to find out if you're allergic to something you're going to put in your mouth. Kinesiology works, and it is asking the body a question you don't know. So right away, hey, I got something inside that's smarter than my brain, at least when it comes to my biology. Homeopathy is the same situation. You give the innate a tincture or an instruction under your tongue, carefully constructed by homeopathist's tincture, to do something, whether you got a cough or whether you got a disease or whatever, and your body sees it and acts on it. Now, isn't it interesting? I don't know if you knew this as Americans. I didn't know this, that homeopathy is the way of it in Europe. So when you go to Europe, you've got these homeopathy stores instead of drug stores everywhere. You got to have a doctor's certificate almost to buy aspirin. I mean, we go in and buy codeine, you know, and cough medicine, and that's a drug, and you don't get that in Europe. And instead, they've got shelves of homeopathy. And that is what people are used to. Now, you come to the States, and we drop the whole idea. In fact, the AMA, actually, it was, they had a full-page RAS on it about 10 years ago in the journal. You know, like, it can't exist, that the tincture is not recognizable, the body would never see it, and all this. It's so interesting how we just drop the whole thing. Now, that's starting to change because surgeons are starting to recommend some homeopathy thing for healing scars and whatever. So even though the AMA may not believe it, the doctors of America are starting to see it work. So that, but I just have to tell you that that principle of the innate knowing more than you do, if homeopathy can instruct the body, and if you can have questions and answers, whether it's with body talk or whether it's with kinesiology, then also consciousness being energy can instruct it. You got that? Now you have this new tool using your consciousness to program your body out of disease, programming your body out of sickness or whatever. I have a situation, and I've talked to my body over and over, and Monica will tell you, when I get a cold, when I get anything, it does not run its course. I give it 3 days, and then I'm done with it. So I'm telling my body, go ahead and catch this. Go ahead and do what you want, but in 3 days, it's gone. And in general, almost everywhere I've gone on this planet, most of these things come from airplanes. Sorry, they do. And Monica will attest the fact that it's very quick healing. I'm a very quick healer. And that comes from my consciousness telling my body how long it's got in order to get rid of it.
And I want to add to that because Lee and I, this is not from Cryon, but Lee and I just came from a trip in Peru with a Kiru shaman by the name of Nicholas Pacar Calcina, and he shares Andean Cosmovision. And in the Andean Cosmovision, if you have a headache, you take an aspirin. So that's one part. You take the aspirin, it goes into your body, it releases the chemicals, and your headache goes away. So then you build on that. The next step, if you have a headache, instead of taking the aspirin, you do all the ceremony and ritual with the feeling of taking that aspirin in your body without taking the aspirin for the headache to go away. The body thinks it's done it without actually doing it. That's the second step. And then they say, when you next time get your headache, you just simply recall the feeling of having taken aspirin without even doing the ceremony, and your neurochemicals in the brain will release what you need because you're in complete communication with your body. So this is ancient wisdom coming from the shamans that is exactly like what Cryon described, but different language. And whatever you can use to cognize it as your absolute truth, use it. Do your own experiments. Practice with those simple things. For a lot of people, aspirin or ibuprofen will relieve pain. You've taken it in. Try it another time by doing a ceremony as though it has. And it's about establishing the link between the emotional body of how it happens with your mental.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Let's have one more question, then I have a little thing I want to do.
Oh. Okay, this gentleman right here.
All right, thank you. What does Karen have to say about 5G and wireless affecting our health, especially spiritual health?
Mm-hmm. Karen has not weighed in on that. Now, I've talked to Greg Braden about it, and we both have said we've got numbers of conflicting facts, which also bothers us because we've had research that says it's no good, and we've had research that said it's going to be okay. So right now the jury is actually out. If you haven't seen both, you should look for it. Don't worry about your spiritual health being involved by any technology because it's stronger than anything that man can do, period. The exception, not technology, would be chemistry that you ingest. So if you're going to go with a hallucinogenic or you're going to go with something else or whatever, that can affect your mind and your brain and actually do damage. But no technology, according to Kryon, at this point in time, is higher than your higher self soul's ability to cope with it. I like that. And it's controversial because there would be, says, no, you be an electric field and it does this and that. And Kryon says, you have no idea what your light is like today. And you can step into these things and not worry about them. As far as health, as far as those who don't have that ability, the jury is out at the moment and Kryon has not talked about it, but Greg and I have. So we know we have got to come up with something to tell our people. The answer to that question will be coming. We don't have it now in all fairness, but we are concerned and we are looking at that. But don't worry about your spirituality. I want to tell you something that Greg and I have been looking at and privately, I would say, working on, because I've heard Greg's his discussions on mirror neurons. And I've seen what has happened in China regarding mirror neurons. I'm going to explain that in a moment. And then Kryon had a channel about the future of healing. That has all to do with mirror neurons. Mirror neurons, if you see somebody yawn, what do? Now that's the simplest form of mirror neurons. The most complex form of mirror neurons would be, let's say you relate to somebody who's being healed of a tumor, and you get healed of a tumor. Now, how does this relate and what facility would we need to capture belief? Because mirror neurons is how the body reacts to what it believes is happening. You got that? All right, so imagine for a moment, and Greg has all talked about this too, what we have in artificial intelligence coming is the ability to enter virtual worlds. Right now, it's simple Simon stuff. You put on a pair of goggles, basically, and a high-resolution video plays in your front of your face, and it'll take you to anywhere you want to, like a documentary. The next stage is here, touchy-feely. Now there's a facility, and you can go into it because gamers know how this works. You go into a facility, and you put on the goggles, and you put on a special suit. Now, you did something very, very similar to this. And you actually will walk through a maze. And you'll say, well, how can you walk into where you're wearing goggles, where your goggles show you exactly where everything is, and the paths, and the tables, and the walls, and you walk this maze with goggles. But what you're seeing is whatever the programmer wants you to see. Now, if you're playing a game, that's where it started. You'll have a situation where you'll have maybe something jump out at you or whatever, and it's real. It's very real. You touch a table, it's there. It really actually is there. You pick up something, a sword or whatever, it's actually there. It's just a piece of wood or whatever, but you think it's a gleaming sword. You see where I'm going with this? Now, this is virtual reality, and it's getting more complex and more complex and more real all the time. There'll become a time when we were in a situation once where we were saying, well, this is an archaeological find, but it's probably not going to be open to the public because it's too dangerous. It's going to cave in. And they said, that's okay, because someday we're going to have a virtual walkthrough. So you can go into the archaeological find and see their photographs and their videos of everything, and you can see it, but you won't be there. Same thing in Egypt, you know. You go into tunnels and places that the public will probably never be able to go because it's too dangerous, and you can walk through them. You see where this is going? Let's go to the final one. This was channeled by Kryon. You go into a healing center, and it says healing center. And they lay you down and put on a special suit or whatever, or goggles. And suddenly you're transported, because it's a virtual thing and you see everything around you, and you meet the doctors that are going to help facilitate your healing with a brand new technology because you got a tumor. And you see their faces and you shake their hands and you hear them talk and you talk back, and they're real people playing a part. And what you see next is the screens that show your tumor with all of the instruments that are new. And they say, okay, are you ready now for the tumor to be shrunk? And what you'll see on the screens and what you'll hear them say and do as they process you without any pain or anything else is that the tumor starts to go down. And you see it with your eyes. And you feel it. It's some mirror neurons. Here it is. Here it is. Tumor is being healed. And when you come out of all this after maybe an hour or 2 hours of all of this processing and watching this work, you get up and you go home and the tumor is gone. That's mirror neurons. Now, do you think it's possible? Greg continues to show it as it happened in China. It's exactly what this has. And he shows a tumor that was reduced right in front of their eyes on a screen, because they believed it and they got rid of their own tumor. So this is not new. It's just coming to a society where we've been programmed against it. And we're going to have to go into an artificial intelligence mode. Don't be afraid of artificial intelligence. It's that you've got too many science fiction movies with robots that are going to kill you. We are in charge of this. Is going to be used in a very elegant way, as well as there'll be those who don't. But mostly it's going to be used to help us. And this is one of them, and it's coming. And Greg and I both wink at each other because we know it is. He approaches it from a science standpoint, and I approach it from channeling. So thank you for letting me share that.